For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Fern, I would like for you to come and bless our offering this morning.
I'm glad Glenn asked me to come up. I'm going to share something quickly with you. We just had the sacrament experience that I've ever had for this reason. March the 16th, I had a stroke. I lost the use of my right arm and my leg. And I began, I first thanked Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for me. And that you took the keys of hell and death. I turned to Satan and I said, Satan, you don't have the authority to do this. I said, you don't have the keys. And I commanded the demons to leave me alone. My arm, my left side was like an earthquake. My left arm and my leg, there was no feelings in. I slumped to the floor. I crawled to the bed and woke my husband up and called 911. I had a clear head all the time. And I was coming against the demons within my body, telling them I shall live and not die and declare the works of God. And this is what I wanted to do right now. An hour and a half in the emergency room, I was able to lift my hand and my leg. They did a CAT scan. There was nothing. And I thank God. Had I not done that, I would have been carrying a limp arm and dragging a leg. And I thank Him for the blood that was shed for me. And He's given me life. He's given me new life. 40 years, and he restored my physical life again recently, and I thank Him for it. And Father God, I come lifting my praise to You and the praise of these others, Lord, for all You've done for us, the new life and everything You've given us, for life, and for each other, for love, and for new growth. And Father, we just now lift this congregation and lift this monies that we're giving back to You, Lord, which is only a small part. And I ask You now to just to help those missionaries wherever they are, Lord. And I thank You that You've given them a missionary's heart, that they've gone to the byways and the hedgeways to bring them in. And we just ask You now to just minister to their needs and let them know in a special, special way this morning how much You love them. And I just send forth this love that's oozing from me to each and every one of them, Lord. Out where they would minister, give them a receptive feel, Lord Jesus. And I know Your word will not return void. And we praise Your holy name.
Let's stand together this morning.
I'm very glad you're here this morning.
Amen. I'm glad that Jesus is here this morning. Hallelujah. If He wasn't here, we better go home. I have a friend here in the meeting this morning, Brother Bob Glad from Muskogee, a friend of mine, a minister friend who preaches the kingdom of God. And Bob, I want you to come and pray this morning. Would you come up and just pray over the meeting? I want Bob to pray. Bob and I are good friends. We've been friends for years, and we used to study a lot together and be in fellowship meetings together. So I want Bob to pray before we teach. Bob, praise the Lord.
Father, it's always good just together.
Hallelujah.
Assembled together as Your body.
Mm.
It's always good to just gather together and feel and know Your presence.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, as we do that this morning, we gather together to hear You speak.
Mm-hmm.
I pray now that as You do, as You use our brother, pray that we would have open hearts,
mm-hmm,
and open minds.
Yes, Lord.
And be receptive to Your word.
Mm-hmm.
We love You. We praise You.
Amen.
We thank You for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bob. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise God. How many's got your Bible this morning? Good. Well, we're going to need it. Well, we're not going to jump over the scriptures we did the other night. It's going to be different. But I want to go to two scriptures in the book of Psalms, first of all, and then we'll go to the book of Acts. Psalms 148, and I appreciate being here this morning. Usually we have to go back on Saturday and preach in our fellowship, but I wanted to stay over this time and be here on Sunday morning. So I'm glad we could be here. I appreciate the campground. I appreciate the ministry this time and the word that came forth and the prophetic words. We should be a thankful people, a grateful people, what God has done for us and is doing for us. Psalms 148, verse 8 says this. It says, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling what? Come on.
His word.
And then we look down to verse 18 of 147. He's talking here about the ice, the morsels of ice, but he says in verse 18 of 147, he sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters to flow. I want you to notice, without a blow, there's no flow. So he sends a stormy wind, fulfilling his word, and he causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. Praise God. Let me thank God for his word this morning. Amen. Somebody said this one time, God lives in a three-room house. You ever heard that? Outer court, holy place, most holy place. And in that most holy place, how many know that it's a living room and it's a loving room there in this house? And in that living room and loving room, there was only one piece of furniture, and it had a mercy seat. How many thank God for his mercy? Amen. But there was something else in that room, in that most holy place, where it's the living room and loving room, and where there was a mercy seat, there was a fireplace. Because our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. So this morning, we want to touch on, there is a snake in the fireplace. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 in the New Testament. I heard a man recently, it was a word, I suppose, to him from the Lord. He said, this will be the year for the book of Acts. It could be. I like it every day. How about you? Whether it's 94, 95, or 96, or 97, or 98. I like the book of Acts. Now, how many know that Paul was confronted by a storm here in chapter 27? And I want to bring it down to where we live today. How many know that the ship, that Paul, of course, Paul was on a natural ship, but the ship today represents the world system and is heading for the rocks or destruction. How many believe that? Number two, the wind was a natural wind here in the storm that Paul was confronted with, as well as the others. But I tell you, the storm that's coming to brewing today is the Holy Ghost himself bringing the storm. And how many know God's shaking some things? Amen? And number three, the storm was a natural storm in Paul's day, but the storm we're facing is the day of the Lord that's coming. The day of the Lord is coming. It's like a storm. And yet there was one on board who was a prisoner, and how many know that Paul was literally the overcomer who took over the ship in the midst of the storm? Amen? And God has an overcomer in this hour. Even though the world system is going to be destroyed, and even though God's bringing the storm, and it's in the day of the Lord, God has an overcomer, hallelujah, that will take over the ship. And we're going to take over under Christ. Amen? We're going to rule under Christ with him. Can you say amen? Not apart from him. I mean, no, he's the head. He'll always be the head. We grow up into the head, but we'll never be the head. He's always going to be the preeminent one. Somebody say amen. All right, look here in Acts 27. I want to show you a few things. In Acts 27, we see that the centurion that was over the soldiers, probably 100 soldiers or more. There were 276, actually, I think, here on board, though, on the ship. But we see in verse 9 through 11, let's just read it here. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, How many's ever been in some dangerous situations in your life? Amen? I think we all have. Because the fast was now already past, Paul did something. He admonished them. Now, here Paul's a prisoner, and yet he's admonishing the people here on the ship, and he said to them, "Sirs, I perceive." Now, when an apostle says, "I perceive," how many know we better listen? I wouldn't take those words lightly, would you? Paul said, "I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." So he said, "I perceive something would happen to the ship, and even our lives are in danger. Nevertheless," now here's the first point, the centurion here, or the commander, believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So the centurion believed the words of the master or the owner of the ship. And we know that this owner of the ship had previous experience. And he chose that over what Paul was saying. What does Paul know? I'm sure he may have thought that. But Paul had just heard from God, really. And yet he chose the owner of the ship over the words of Paul. And then secondly, we see that actually he chose the carnal mind or the natural mind over the spiritual mind. Now, look in verse 13 and 14. There's something else here. I'm just going to touch a few things here. I'm just going to preach about 40 minutes. How's that? Hopefully. Verse 13. "Now, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." No, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back to verse 12. "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete that lies towards the southwest and northwest." I mean, no, we don't like inconvenience. I'm not the only one. I know you don't like it either. We don't like it, did we? And so not only did the centurion believe the owner of the ship, but yet the whole crew here, they didn't like inconvenience. They because the haven, it says, was not commodious to winter in. Now, it seemed like that when Paul spoke these words, it said the south wind blew softly, everything was rosy and peachy and lovely, and there was no change. But yet it says that because the haven was not commodious to winter in, they wanted to move on. So there was some inconvenience. The word inconvenience means discomfort. We don't like discomfort, do we? How many know we're comfort creatures? Amen. And this word inconvenience means that which gives trouble. And we don't like trouble. We're going to help God out and get out of the situation pretty quick. Hallelujah. How many know God wants us to come through our trials, our tribulations? Not look for a way out. How many know He'll make a way, but we try to get out of the thing, squirm out of the thing any way we can, don't we? It means embarrassment or uneasiness. This word inconvenience. And then He said something here in this verse. Notice again. It says there in verse 12, because the haven was not commodious to winter in. That word commodious in the margin means fit, but it means not convenient. It's not well set. We've got to go to Phoenicia and be there for the winter. We can't stay around this place. We've got to get out of here. Get on the move. How many has ever made a wrong move in your life? Be honest. Praise God. How many can raise your hands twice? Amen. Amen. How many know, I've seen people get up and leave the will of God, leave a local church where God put them, and get up and move, and how many know all hell breaks out? Sometimes families are destroyed. Sometimes, things happen. We need to hear the Holy Ghost when we start moving. Amen? Praise God. So these were, of course, many of these were unsafe people here. We know that, but still. Now, how many know the majority is not always right? Look in verse 12 again. I believe it's verse 12. Notice. It said, "The more part advised to depart thence also." So the majority wanted to get out of there. They wanted to leave. They wanted to get on the move. And the majority is not always right. Would you say amen? And then the elements, of course, witness against Paul. The south wind blew softly, it says. And it just went against what Paul said. But yet he had heard, I believe, from God. Look in verse 21 through 26. "Even in the midst of the storm, though, that they faced, because right after that, there was a storm came called Euroclydon." It's mentioned here. It's actually a hurricane. In verse 14, it's like a hurricane blowing in every direction. And it began to blow upon them. And, of course, the ship was caught in the middle of it. But even in the midst of this storm, when it seemed all things were hopeless and helpless, How many know God still intervened? Look in verse 21. And how many thank God He's intervened in our life many times in a hopeless, helpless situation? Even when we've missed God, even when we went contrary to God, God has got our attention. Come on, amen? And God has intervened, got us out of situations. Verse 21. And but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs. And notice the word sirs again. He used it earlier, now he's used it. He didn't say, you dummies, why didn't you listen to me? He said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. So he's bringing comfort. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou shalt be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So he brought comfort. Paul becomes the captain of the ship. He takes the ship over. He's giving orders now. He's heard from headquarters. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord has appeared. Nobody saw that angel. I mean, that angel gave him a word of wisdom. That angel, when he appeared, there was discerning of spirits. Because Paul saw him, Paul heard him, and yet no one else heard and saw him. And yet Paul saw the angel. It's like Jack. How many know Jack the other night was ministering? He saw the angel come in here. That was discerning of spirits. That angel's ministered with him for many years. Now, he gives them something. He tells them something. Look at verse 31 what he tells them here. There's a condition. How many know that there's conditions that we have to meet? Huh? Look at verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot, come on, be saved. Now, God said, I've given all those that sail with you, but there's a condition. He said, you better stay put. Don't you get out of the boat or you won't make it. And if the conditions are met, we'll see God move in our lives. Amen? Do you know there's prophetic words that are given to you, and every prophetic word is conditions? And many people never see the prophecies fulfilled because they don't meet the conditions. There's conditions you and I have to meet. Praise God. How many believe that? It's true. All prophetic words are conditional. And so we must meet the conditions. So Paul, here, give the word of the Lord that they would all be saved. But you've got to meet the condition. You've got to stay in the boat. And then he said something else here. Look in verse 32. I'm just taking my time, but look in verse 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. All escape mechanisms was cut off. All the boats that attached to the ship was cut off and let go. And how many know God's cutting off all the escape routes in this hour? Even the rapture route. Come on. Huh? He's cutting it off. I used to believe in it strongly. First time I ever heard there was no rapture, I got mad. And then I got glad I saw what the Lord was saying. Praise God. Now look at verse 24. Look at the promises here. What's these promises again? Look in verse 24. God, the latter part, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Then you look in verse 43 and 44, especially verse 44. It says they all escaped to land. Well, God had promised that. They stayed in the boat and they made it to land. Then in verse 34, look at verse 34, here's another promise. What's this? Wherefore, I pray you, take you some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. What a promise. I mean, no, every time you take a shower, if you're like me, I lose a few hairs here and there. And yet they were going to swim to shore, and yet he said, not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. What a promise that is. Now look at verse 22. He said something else here. No loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. There'll be no loss of life. And then in verse 26, we're going to be cast upon a certain island, he said. Praise God. Now, look at the last few verses of chapter 27. We see here that, I believe it's verse 44 I want, the verse 44. That it says they escaped all safe to land. They all say, made it to land. But notice the word escaped. And then you come up to 28:1, when they were escaped. So they escaped, and they came to a place called what? Melita or Malta. You got Melita in verse 1, and you got a miserable weather in verse 2. Hallelujah. Melita or Malta. And the scriptures, I want to give you an outline here now. I want to give you a little outline in this chapter for about 10 verses. Melita or Malta means honey. That's verse 1. They escaped to the island of Melita. Verse 2, miserable weather. Verse 3, the attack. And verse 4, the accusers. You ever had any of those? Verse 5, faith in action, the supernatural. Verse 6, some changed minds. Thank God we need our minds changed today, don't we? Verse 7, motel accommodations. Verse 8, advertising for revival. Didn't cost them anything for it. Verse 9, revival breaks out. And verse 10, great provision. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 1 here, when they came to the island of Melita or Malta, notice what it said. They knew, that's knowledge, they knew the island was called Melita. So there was knowledge here of where they were. And then in verse 2 it says that they were received by the barbarous people. And they showed them kindness. I mean, though some sinners can show you more kindness than some Christians. I've had it done. They built a fire. They received the people here. And notice it was because of the present rain and because of the cold. That was natural rain and natural cold. Present rain, cold rain. Let me thank God for the real rain today. The Holy Ghost rain. Amen? Amen. But the first principle I want to show you here is here's the servant, Paul, ready to serve. Paul, a servant, was ready to serve. Now, Matthew 20:27 says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Remember that scripture? And so Paul was ready to serve. Now, think about this. Paul had spent much of his time at sea, right? He had had one meal in several weeks. It was cold, cold temperature, cold rain. And he had to swim to shore like everybody else. He was tired. He was no doubt exhausted. And yet, he had been justified to just stand there by the fire that they had made. But instead of that, Paul is out gathering some sticks. He's out gathering sticks to help build the fire. Praise God. Now, Paul was not a snake handler, was he? I don't believe in that garbage. How about you? But he was a stick gatherer. He gathered sticks. And how many know that's a little job? It's not hard. But how many know little things mean a lot in the body of Christ and in your life and my life? So here's a servant. Here's a servant out gathering sticks to build the fire. The second principle is this. How many know that when your enemy is hungry, what do you do? Come on. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If he's cold and damp, you help warm him and dry him out. Isn't that right? There's a scripture in Galatians 6. Hold your place there. I want to give this to you in Galatians 6. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity. And believe me, God works opportunities out for us. Let us do good unto all men. All men. That's even people in the world, isn't it? But he said especially to them who are of the household of faith. So as we have opportunity, we are to do good. We're to help others. And that was what Paul was actually doing. He was out picking up sticks and help building the fire. And that would be beneficial to all of them. He had an opportunity. Another scripture says we're to bear the infirmities of the weak. How many know there's some weak Christians in the body of Christ? How many know there's times we've been weak? Sure. Praise God. He wasn't thinking of himself only. Come on. He was thinking of somebody else besides himself. Time to think of others, isn't it? You know the little word joy means Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Amen? Now, Paul was educated. We know that. Trained at the feet of Gamaliel. God sent him and set him among even the uneducated right here, didn't he? And yet, here's an educated man. Probably I would have sent Peter if I'd had the opportunity. Amen? Peter was unlearned, uneducated, ignorant man. But how many know God will send you where he wants to send you? And God sent Paul among the weakest here. And Paul, it probably might have been hard for Paul to relate. I don't know. It would have been on an intellectual plane. But how many know Paul relied on the Holy Spirit? Isn't that right? He had to here. I don't care how much knowledge we have, we got to rely on the Holy Spirit. Praise God. If we've done something, if we've healed the sick a certain way yesterday through the Lord through us, how many know God may not move that way tomorrow or the next week? It's the same with deliverance. It's the same with whatever. We've got to be led of the Holy Spirit. It's not always the same. And yet, sometimes, we fall in that trap, don't we? How many know we've got to be led of the Holy Spirit? Doc quoted that yesterday, I believe it was. We've got to be led by the Spirit to prove that we are the sons of God. Isn't that right? Praise God. Okay, now, so we must trust the Holy Spirit. Now, where did God send Peter? He sent him to Jerusalem, to the educated. Well, I'd send Paul. Well, Paul had been in Jerusalem, of course, but Peter, God used Peter there. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you another principle here real quick. Satan thought that he could kill Paul before he gives witness at Rome. Now, every prophetic word you get, you will be tested on it. Now, let me show you this. Look in Acts here. Look in Acts 19. I want to give you three scriptures. Paul knew where God was taking him. I have heard people say, Paul missed the will of God. I don't believe that for one ounce he missed the will of God. Just because he's in trouble. I do not believe Paul ever missed the will of God here. I'm not saying he was perfect, but I don't believe he missed the will of God. In Acts chapter 19, 21, it said, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see what? Come on. Rome. Now, he had this in his spirit. He knew this. Has that ever happened to you? That God was putting in your spirit, you had to go someplace or see someone, and you knew it in here, didn't you? And that's what Paul's saying. All right, now, look in Acts 23, verse 11. Here again we see Paul saying something. Here's the Lord. Actually, 23:11. The night following, it says, the Lord stood by him, by Paul, and said, be of good cheer. Well, that's what the angel said there in Acts 28. And here Jesus said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You think Paul missed God to go into Rome? No. But do you believe Paul was tested on that word? You better believe it. Now look in Acts 27 again. 27:24. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Now here's the angel. You'll be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So there's three scriptures. I think there's another one on it somewhere. But there's at least three where Paul knew he was to go to Rome. Hallelujah. But on the way to Rome, how many know he had some problems? Hallelujah. Let me give you another scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. I believe that's the one I want. Praise God. How many preachers we got here this morning? All right, I guess several. Praise God. I mean, we're all ministers to the body. Maybe not all fivefold, but we're all ministers to the body of Christ. All right, look in 1 Corinthians 16, 9, and listen to what it says. For a great door, an effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries. How many ever pray for open doors? Well, when you do, let me tell you what you're praying for. You're praying for some adversaries. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. And when God opens doors, you will have adversaries, one way or another. And God told Paul he would go to Rome, and he's on his way to Rome. And we know there's a shipwreck, and a lot of things are happening. So Satan thinks he's going to kill Paul before he gets witness at Rome. Now, look in Acts 28, here with me, and look at verse 3. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. I mean, that viper woke up in cold weather. But I'll touch on that in just a minute. It might have been a coral snake. I don't know what kind of snake it was. But as he began to feel the heat in that cold weather, as Paul put the sticks on the bonfire. Now, how many know wood speaks of humanity? You know that? Now, these were natural little sticks out here he put on the fire. But you study the tabernacle. How many know that gold covered the wood, the boards there in the tabernacle? The wood's humanity. The gold's God's nature. And so Paul takes these sticks. He puts them on the bonfire. And notice he didn't throw them. He laid them on the fire. There's an order here. The apostle is putting sticks, laying sticks in order in the fire. Hallelujah. How many know there's ministries that will put you in the fire? Especially apostles' ministries. And Paul put these natural sticks in a natural fire. But I'm telling you, that was a picture of humanity. And there are fivefold ministry, actually, will put you in the fire. And there's an order here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the snake realizes he's going in the wrong direction. And immediately he did something. He fastened onto Paul's hand. You know, he didn't just kiss Paul's hand, did he? He grabbed a hold of it. And he grabbed a hold of the hand. Hallelujah. There is an attack against the hand ministry today. Apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. And with some people, you can't please them. I don't care if you're the greatest apostle in the world. Come on. Or the greatest shepherd in the world. You can't please some people. But how many know we're not pleasing men anyway? We're pleasing God. I don't want to be a man pleaser, self pleaser. I want to be a God pleaser. Come on, amen? Hallelujah. And I like what Brother Pittman said. He used to come here and he comes here and shares. You know, he says, I'm a teller, but not a convincer. I mean, if we throw it out, God has to convince you. Amen? Nobody can do it for you. But the Holy Spirit can show you. Now, but there's an attack against the fivefold ministry. This snake didn't want to go on that fire. Hallelujah. And you know, brethren, when a ministry puts you in the fire, when he puts you, your humanity, are you in the fire, of any type of tribulation or trial or whatever we go through, how many know that something's going to come out of you and me? Something's going to surface. Isn't that right? When you get in the fire, something's going to come out. It can be positive or it can be negative, and most times it's probably negative. Until we learn to keep our mouth shut. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That means learning. We're learning, aren't we? We're learning to zip our lip. We're learning to pray, God set a watch over my mouth. And how many know God can put a coal on our tongue as he did the prophet? And we need it, don't we? Hallelujah. God, help us to say the right things. Especially in the trials, Lord God. Amen. Now, somebody said there's a beast at the feast and a liar for the fire. Well, we this beast was thrown into the fire here. And how many know there's a beast in us today? That old nature. Huh? That old carnal mind. That old carnal thinking. Now, the snake never touched Paul. Listen to this. The snake never touched Paul till he touched the fire. And when we touch that fire, how many know sometimes we lash back at the ministries or whoever? Now, what did Paul say? Oh, I just love this snake, huh? Just feels so good, you know? No, he shook it off. Come on. He shook it off and put it back into the fire. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, when he sent them out two by two, what did he say when they don't receive you? Shake off the dust, come on, off your feet and move on down the road. That's the same word here. When Paul shook off that snake into the fire, it's like shaking off the dust. Praise God. I mean, that beast is the dust man. And let me show you a scripture in Isaiah. Is it 65 or 6? Let me go see if I can find it. Let's go turn over there. About the dust. Praise God. Isaiah, somewhere, it's 65 or 66. It's one of these chapters. Anyway, it says that the serpent's meat is the dust. It's in one of the chapters. I forget which one it's in. The serpent's meat is the dust. What did the Lord command Satan in the beginning when man fell? To go on his belly on the dust. Isn't that right? Now, we know he's not out there eating dirt. But how many know he partakes of this old dust man right here? Because we give him that authority, don't we? And you know how we give him that authority? By two ways. Accusation and slander. When we accuse falsely and slander falsely, the enemy is allowed to partake of dust. Don't give him a dust sandwich. Starving. In Genesis, he's a serpent. In Revelation, he's a dragon. I mean, he's ate a lot of dust. Thank you, Doc. 65:25. Let's look there. 65:25. There's another one I could give you on that, but we'll just look at this. 65:25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. But the part I want to bring out is the dust shall be the serpent's meat. Okay. So the snake never touched Paul until he touched the fire. And then Paul shook it off back into the fire. Now here's the fourth principle. Now listen to this. Whenever you find a servant ready to serve, there will be a serpent ready to strike. That make sense? I'll say it again. Wherever you find a servant ready to serve, there will be a serpent ready to strike. I mean, Satan hates God's servants. He hates the fivefold ministry because they expose him. Amen? It all began by picking up some sticks, by doing some little small thing. Hallelujah. Well, if only I could do something big for God, my life would really matter. Well, how many know we don't start with the big things? We start with the small things. Isn't that right? Amen. The Bible said we're not to despise the day of small things. And God uses ordinary people. I was thinking in Judges how that God used the various ones in the book of Judges to bring deliverance to God's people. There was one man named Shamgar. And Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. And somebody said an ox goad was a pole 8 feet long, 2 inches thick, and had a point on the end of it. Well, if you face 600 soldiers, you better be anointed of God. Isn't that right? Especially a little plot of land. And so God used ordinary people, but he anointed them to do the job. Praise God. And I was thinking about the little boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, it didn't take much, but yet Jesus multiplied it to feed all the people. And there are 8 things in the book of Judges that will confound the mighty. I wrote down a pitcher, a trumpet, a jawbone of an ass, an ox goad, the left hand, and I'm not against those who are left-handed, a woman, a nail, and a piece of a millstone. And God used those 8 things in the book of Judges to confound the mighty. Hallelujah. I mean, are we still doing it? Praise God. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. I'm going to read that again. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. Don't try to start with the big things. Do the small things that God has showed you. Amen? Be faithful in the small things, and God will promote you. Praise the Lord. Well, some people have the idea, if I can't do something big, I'm not going to do anything at all. Well, you'll never be used of God. Hallelujah. If all we can do is pick up sticks, pick them up. Praise God. The apostle did. He stooped down, didn't he? Picked them up. Hallelujah. If we can just give a cup of cold water to somebody, how many know we'll not lose our reward? Whether to a disciple or to a prophet or whoever. Here's the fifth principle. When you find a servant ready to serve, a serpent ready to strike, there also will be a people ready to judge. How many has that ever happened to you? Servant ready to serve, serpent ready to strike, there will be a people ready to judge. Look in 28 now. Look in verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live. Judgmental. This man's a murderer. Vengeance is coming on this guy. He won't live. He's going to die. He's done something terrible. His motives have been wrong. His morals have been wrong. He's out of God's will. He's going to die. You ever heard that? I mean, if something happens to somebody, we immediately think, man, they're out of the will of God. They've sinned. They've done some terrible thing. Not necessarily. In fact, most of the time, they're following the will of God. We can be crude and rude with our words in situations like this. Amen? Amen. I can just hear him say, he's going to swell up and this guy's going to drop dead. He's not going to last a morning. Praise God. I've even had the devil tell me that. How about you? I've had him tell me, you're going to be dead. Recently, I was on a trip somewhere and he said, you're going to be dead by Monday the 13th. I said, no, I'm not. I know the devil speaks too. Huh? We just got to recognize it's his voice. Praise God. But God didn't let Paul die, did he? Hallelujah. Threw it in the fire, felt no harm. And then he healed the sick. Revival breaks out. Church. There was later a church started here on this island, I think. But God's blessing was on him because God sent him. God was with him. Now, the sixth principle is there was a God ready to deliver. There was a God ready to deliver. Paul, we know, felt no harm, shook it off, shrugged it off. And, you know, I don't know if the beast was dead or not. How many know he sunk his teeth right into this apostle's hand? Right? 220 volts, maybe, of electricity when he touched Paul's hand. He might have fried his brain. I don't know. But it was power. Hallelujah. He won't bite anybody else. He went into the fire. He went into the fire. And you know, if you've been today, I can just hear somebody say, well, I'm coming home, Jesus. Getting ready to... I'll be there any second after that snake bit me. Or I can hear him say, Luke, get that black box over there, that doctor's bag, and bring it here, and let's mix medicine with prayer quickly. That's what some have done. I don't believe in that. I take medicine at times. Don't misunderstand me. But I don't believe you put God on the level of medicine. God wants to heal you. You're healed. Amen? You don't need any medicine if God heals you. If God doesn't heal you, you'll need some medicine. But I don't put them on no same level. That is blasphemy. I mean, no, God don't need medicine if he wants to heal us today. Come, amen? He don't need any pills. Come on. He don't need any. I went that route a lot of times. How many thank God for his healing now? His power to heal and deliver us. Amen? Praise God. Amen. But anyway, you know, then there would be those who would say, well, get the camera out and take my picture for our magazine. Or we need $20,000 from a hospital bill or something, you know. But they thought he would swell. They thought he'd fall down dead. Get a shovel and let's bury this guy shortly. Got it all figured out. But the last principle, the seventh principle that I want to bring out, is they change their minds. How many has ever changed your mind when you was wrong? Man, I have many times. The Lord's changed it. After a great while, they said something else. Look at verse 6, the latter part. When they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Earlier they said he's a murderer. Now he's a god. How many know people are fickle? Come on. But God's faithful. You can't believe half the things some people tell you sometimes. I've had ministers I can't even rely on at times. Come on, they tell me one thing, they do something else. Listen, God wants us to keep our word. Can you say amen? I know we've all missed it, but God wants us to keep our word. And yet they said, this man is going to die, and now they call him a god. One minute you're a great teacher, next minute you're a curse. Come on. Oh, I love this prophet over here. Or later, oh, I hate that guy. He never says anything good. We can be so fickle. Look in Jeremiah 29. Praise God. I've had people say, oh, I just love the teaching. I'll be there every week. Never see him again. Oh, God set me in this place. God put me here. Never see him again. I mean, you know, that stuff's got to stop. Doc was talking about liars yesterday. I enjoyed that part. Jeremiah 29:11. Listen to what God says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil or calamity. To give you an expected end. God wants us to have a good end, doesn't he? Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all, come on, your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places, God says, that I've driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into this place once I cause you to be carried away in captivity, he says here. Praise God. So God says, I'm going to do all those wonderful things for you. So, brethren, I believe we're at the end of the age. And I believe as Paul faced a natural storm, we're facing a storm today. Amen? The ship speaks of this world system that's going to be destroyed. The nations are going to break apart. God's going to bring judgment upon all the nations. And yet, it's the Holy Spirit, it is God that's going to bring forth this storm. This storm is in the day of the Lord, and yet God has his overcomers coming forth in the midst of this age and this hour and this day. And I believe God is going to use his real overcomers in this hour. But there's some things we have to overcome. What is it? Come on. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And how many know that's daily? And you know, an overcomer is one who just goes right on. He doesn't throw in the towel. He doesn't give up. There's perseverance. There's persistence in one that overcomes. Amen? And we need persistence. We need to persevere in the things of God. And if we're going to be an overcomer and a son of God, we're going to go through things. We're going to go through fire. We may not be snake bit, but we're going to go through fire. But how many know the fire will purge off all the dross? Come on. All the chaff. And, you know, Jesus said, buy me gold tried in the fire. And he was speaking to the last church age. And so there is the fire we have to go through. There's testing times. We enter the kingdom by much tribulation. And yet, it's for our benefit. Praise God. Don't fight the fire. Submit to it. And God will make you a better person. Amen? Praise God. Any questions on what we talked this morning? Anybody got a question right here? Or a comment? Maybe you got a comment. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone? Told you it's just going about 40 minutes. How long did it go? Praise God. Let's stand. Praise God. If I got in the book of Revelation, now we might have been here 2 hours. But this morning, I didn't feel to share long. I just felt this message was a message for us today. Amen. So whatever is clinging, you know, to you, shake it off. Shake it off. And let God heal you and deliver you. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for those who are faithful in the small things as well as the big things. Father, forgive us when we haven't been. Forgive us when we've murmured and complained, Lord, in the midst of the fire. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. And Lord, help us to keep our word. Lord, as we speak to others and tell others, Lord, help us to be true to our word, Lord God. And Lord, just help each one of us, we pray today. We need you, Lord. We're a desperate people. But Lord, help each one of us, we pray. Father, again, we pray for the campground. We pray for Glenn and Irma. We pray for the people here. Those that will be traveling today, Lord, we pray for traveling mercies for them. Those that are still on the road, Lord, that may have left yesterday or some other time, we pray for them. Lord, we thank you for the next camp meeting. It will be here on Memorial Weekend. We just pray for the people to come and the speakers to come and your will to be done, Lord. We thank you for all the healing and deliverance and things you've done in this meeting. The encouragement, the prophetic words that went forth, Lord. Father, we just hold up Speed as he goes to Austin and Brother Jack and all the other ministers here, Lord. We just thank you for them. And God, we give you praise. We give you honor and glory. Without you, we're nothing. We just truly submit to you. Give Glenn and Irma strength, Lord, I pray. Give them strength, Lord. This next week, Lord, as they do a lot of cleaning up and Lord, getting ready for the next camp meeting. And just help them. Lord, send in personnel and people they need here that would help them and be a great benefit to them, Lord. We bless you, Lord, and we bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. God love you and God bless you. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.